Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode number 71 of the Big T Wrestling Podcast. Wednesday, July 12th, 2017. Well, I got a really special guest and a good treat for you guys here tonight. I have a member of the Bullet Club, a professional wrestler that's gonna be on a tour of Japan. Actually, he's leaving tomorrow. We got Mr. Chase Owens here with us, up-and-coming professional wrestler. How you doing, Chase?
Hey, man. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, you're welcome. Look, Chase, it's definitely an honor to have you here, and let's get into the interview by starting off with, about how old would you say you were approximately when you first ran across pro wrestling and, you know, the little light bulb in your head went off and you kind of said to yourself, you know what? This is what I want to do. I want to be a pro wrestler for the rest of my life. About when did that happen? How did you fall in love with it?
My parents were big wrestling fans back in the day, so actually, you know, at a young age, you know, as far as I can remember, we were always watching wrestling and, you know, just, I think what hooked me was, you know, like most kids back then is, you know, Hulk Hogan. He was really what, you know, who I loved and who I wanted to be like. And he's the reason that, you know, that I wanted to become a professional wrestler.
And, you know, Hulk Hogan, back in that day, that was like the perfect man to look up to get you into the sport. Definitely. Now, you know, once you fell in love with it, you got watching it a little bit more, and when did the inspiration strike you? You know what? I'm going to go to wrestling school, or I want to start training and, you know, actually take the next step to get going in this journey. How did that all come about for you?
Well, you know, it was guys like Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, guys like that, that really wanted me to pursue professional wrestling. But I never knew anything about, you know, I didn't know there was local wrestling shows or training schools or whatever around here, you know, and it kind of just fell into my lap because a buddy of mine in high school, when I was 16, he was a senior, I was, I believe, sophomore, maybe, and, you know, he was going to ring announce for this local wrestling show, which at the time was called All Pro Wrestling here in my hometown of, well, on the Tennessee side of my hometown of Bristol. You know, I'm on the Virginia side, but he asked if I wanted to tag along. You know, so I did, and it just, like I said, it just kind of fell in my lap because we, you know, we met the son of the owner of the company who, you know, we talked to him, and we actually asked, me and another buddy of mine actually asked, you know, how can we get a ring so we can backyard wrestle? You know, and he told us not to do that, that if we wanted to wrestle, you know, that he would let us train there and, you know, become a part of that show, which I think it was the very next week, you know, I was starting.
Oh, wow. So it kind of came pretty quick, huh?
Yeah.
You just got right into it. And then, once you got going with it, what was it like getting in that ring for the first time? You know, taking your first bumps, getting trained, getting seasoned, you know, especially because of, well, you know, for anybody that's listening to the show, especially young people that are aspiring to be pro wrestlers such as yourself, you know, what advice could you give them on the start of the road here?
You know, it was definitely exciting to, you know, to be thinking that this is, you're taking a step to this childhood dream you have. And, you know, and that's exactly what it was, but you know, it didn't come too easy because, you know, your body's not made to take bumps and just to fall on your back, you know, not catch yourself. And, you know, it's, everybody's always, oh, wrestling's fake, you know, but the only thing really, you know, think about it is it's choreographed. I mean, accidents happen, your body stays beat up. You know, it's one of the most grueling things that I've ever actually physically trained for.
Oh, it's, you know, I give so much credit to all the men and women that go out and actually do this, because when your body has to take a fall like that, take a bump like that, it's like, yeah, sure, it's, you know, things are scripted to happen a certain way, or like you said, you know, choreographed for things to go a certain way, but the fact is when you guys are taking those bumps and you're receiving whatever move you're receiving, taking a bump, whether it's in the ring or on the concrete, that's your body's really taking that force. And, you know, it's, I can only imagine how hard it's got to be for you guys. And got to say, I give you credit for doing a lot of work that you do. And, you know, it's the reason why fans like me have fallen in love with it. And if you want to talk a little bit about your training, who trained you? Who was your trainer?
You know, like I said, the guy that owned the professional or the company, his name was Mikey Duggar, and we actually started training with him, and I was there for a little bit, but I was lucky enough, you know, again, the Tennessee side is home to, you know, now WWE Hall of Famer Ricky Morton, and, you know, he seen me at a show one day, and he pulled me to the side and, you know, and told me, you know, I think you have potential. Do you want to start traveling with me and me teaching you what I know? You know, and here I was early 17 years old and, you know, and I jumped all over that opportunity.
Oh, it's a unbelievable opportunity, especially at the young age of 17. And, you know, especially with Ricky Morton, Hall of Famer, can't get any better than that. Now, once you started learning from Ricky Morton, what was the next path of your career?
Just, you know, I was traveling with him, and, you know, he was getting me a lot of big opportunities, and a lot of times, you know, this is something that guys starting out or guys that have been wrestling forever, but they haven't been anywhere besides their, you know, 10, 15 mile radius of crappy indie shows, whatever, don't do. And that's just, everybody's got egos and they think if they're not on a show, they're, you know, there's no reason to go to a show. But, you know, here I was 17 and just jumping in the car with Ricky, and actually my first trip, with him, we went up to Mill Creek, West Virginia, and it was a show for, the big draw of the night was supposed to be Greg Valentine, because he just received his WWE Hall of Fame induction. And it was supposed to be Greg versus Manny Fernandez, but something happened and Manny didn't show up. And Ricky actually got the promoter to put me in the ring with Greg Valentine in the main event. So here I was, mid-17, early 17, and, you know, I'm facing a guy that I've heard all these stories about how rough he is and, you know, things like that, and, you know, and I was intimidated, but I would have never got the opportunity if I didn't take the initiative of just to jump in the car.
That is unbelievable. That really is unbelievable. Was that your first ever pro matchup?
No, I'd met at the All Pro Wrestling, you know, in my hometown. I was there for, I don't know, 6-8 months, and we were wrestling every Friday and Saturday night.
Oh, okay. So you had a little bit underneath you then by the time you got to this, and
yeah, a little bit, but I still didn't really have a clue what I was doing.
What was it like as a young kid, the age of 17, just getting in the ring with Greg the Hammer Valentine and letting it all hang out. Did he teach you a few things in there, or what was it like?
Oh, you know, again, it was just super intimidating because, you know, coming up in the business the first few months or whatever, you know, people had talked about how rough Greg Valentine was, or, you know, and things of that nature. So here I am, you know, 17 years old and, you know, stepping in a ring with a WWE Hall of Famer and a guy that I've watched on TV, you know, so it was definitely nerve-wracking, you know, but everything went good. And, you know, and the funny story was me and Ricky get back in the car and Ricky goes, "He liked you." I was like, "Oh yeah, you know." And he was like, "Well, you went 20, 25 minutes. He sold for you and he didn't beat you up." And I was sitting there thinking to myself, "He didn't beat me up. Well, what do you call what he did to me?" Cause he was beating the piss out of me that night.
I was going to say, I always heard stories about Greg the Hammer being a hard hitter. So it's like, yeah, hearing Ricky say that, that's why I even got a chuckle out of it. You know, just listening to you say what Ricky said, "Oh, he didn't really beat you up." Well, yeah, what did he do? What did he do? Then what's it like when he actually...
His hands were like, kill it.
Oh.
Heavy and big.
It's like, what does he do then when he doesn't like somebody? Did Ricky ever tell you that story?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, "What do you do then?" Ricky's like, "No, that's nothing. Worked with him 30 years ago."
Wow. So you got to face Greg the Hammer Valentine. You got to have a, what sounded like a good match with him and a hard-hitting match. And I'm sure that had to feel good. You know, as far as like, you know, having that put on your resume, facing Greg Valentine and, you know, going forward in, you know, in your journey, what was, some of the next stops that you had and some great feuds and matches that you had along the way?
You know, Primal Ricky, I was lucky enough for Ricky to most of the time have the promoters, put me in the ring with him. So I was wrestling, not only wrestling Ricky, but I was able to learn not just in the ring, but, you know, in the car rides. And that, and I think that's what people don't understand too, is, you know, car rides are super important, you know, to learning. And again, I was lucky enough to not only have Ricky, but, about 25 minutes up the road in Kingsport, Tennessee for a while, Bobby Eaton with. So a lot of these trips, you know, a lot of them, not every one of them, but a lot of them, it was me in the back seat, Ricky driving, and Bobby in the passenger seat. So just to sit back and just listen to the stories that they would tell, you know, and just the things I picked up were, you know, and it's such a fast pace because they were just getting thrown at me, you know, I was just having to absorb all this knowledge.
Every day you were taking in something new. And, you know, it's like, taking that in, that's a lot for someone that is 17, you know, 17 years old. But, you know, you soaked all that knowledge up. You got out there. You got wrestling. And when you moved on to your next phase, what were some of the indie promotions that you worked in going forward?
You know, the next really thing, that I really did was I started working for, Tony Givens, which at then was Championship Wrestling, which is now NWA Smoky Mountain, you know, and it's been my home base for 9 years or something like that. You know, that's where I started getting a lot of my exposure because, you know, Tony would have his YouTube show or whatever that a lot of different promoters would run because they would watch because Tony's a, you know, a really good promoter, and a lot of promoters will watch Tony's stuff, you know, and try to emulate it.
And when you were down in NWA Smoky Mountain, well, you're still there, correct? You're still down there?
Yeah, correct. I'm actually the NWA Southeastern champion after beating Jason Kincaid, who held the belt for 5+ years.
Oh, congrats. Congrats to you. When your time in NWA up to this point, do you have some favorite matches, favorite feuds and rivalries that you've had that you could share some stories with us about?
Definitely my favorite match was one that was a dream match for me, because when I was growing up, I said I love Hulk Hogan, and he's why I wanted to wrestle. But when I got into wrestling and started watching other things, I was watching AJ Styles, and you know, he was who I wanted to be early in my wrestling career. And that was the match that I always wanted to have, you know, and it took 9 years, but May of 2015, that match happened at NWA Smoky Mountain, again, thanks to Tony Givens, and, you know, it was one of my favorite matches, that I've ever had.
Wow.
You know,
wow. You know what? I've heard nothing but great things about AJ. You know, even before going into the WWE, I've heard nothing but great things about AJ. And, you know, even in his time in TNA back in the day when he first broke in, a lot of people, you know, would say he's one of the best wrestlers in the world. When you got to get in the ring and you got to work with him, is he every bit top notch as everybody says that he is?
Oh yeah, I definitely think he's, you know, one of the top professional wrestlers in the world. And that's up there, and it may be a little biased, but you know, because of following AJ and being in the Bullet Club with him for a short time, but you know, him and Kenny Omega, those are two guys that I think are the absolute best in the world right now.
Oh, they're definitely going at it with each other to take that number one spot of best wrestler in the world, no doubt. And was that feud with AJ, was that a one-off for you guys, or did you end up facing again?
Nope, it was just a one-off. He was actually the the New Japan IWGP heavyweight champion at the time that I got the wrestling.
Oh wow. Yeah, that's right. 2015. That was when he was holding the title. I remember that now. And that's a huge spot for you. And I gotta say, congratulations on that. That sounds awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, that match was nerve wracking too. Cause like I said, that was a match that, you know, that I'd wanted for 9 years. And when it was announced, everybody just hyped it up so much, and it was almost, I was scared that, that it wouldn't live up to what everybody was saying it was going to, but, you know, everybody says it was the best match they've ever seen live in that area.
Is that match available, like, on a DVD of some sort or on YouTube anywhere?
It is on DVD, but I also think that Tony has, I'm not 100% sure on this, but I think he's now, you know, it's been so long now, I think it's released on YouTube, so you should be able to find it on there, and if not, you can go to nwasmokymountain.com, and I'm sure somewhere on there you can find that DVD.
Wow, perfect. Yeah, that sounds like one match I can really sink my teeth into. It sounds like a great one, especially when you talked about the build and everything for it. It sounds like a great one. When you get to this point, you know, you went on and you faced AJ Styles. This is 2015. Now, were you already in New Japan before this, or did you end up getting in New Japan after this?
I was there before. I made my debut in New Japan in October of 2014.
Okay. Now, with New Japan, I know you were working for NWA Smoky Mountain. How did everything with the business relationship with New Japan come about? Is it something that you wanted to do, or did they end up scouting you out and you worked out a deal to work for both promotions? Or how did this all go?
It came about because back then, the NWA, which was ran by Bruce Lark, received a working relationship with New Japan, and New Japan came down to Houston and San Antonio for a couple shows, affiliated with the NWA, and they had like a little tryout before the show or whatever, which I took part of, and then a few months later, same thing at Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor had a little tryout seminar type thing, and I was there too, and that's when, office members of Japan would come up to me and recognize me from Texas, and at the time of that, I was also the NWA World Junior Champion, so, being champion and having that working relationship with the NWA, I was lucky enough to be brought over.
That's awesome because, I've heard, a lot of, I've actually interviewed people that have wrestled in Japan, and this is where I want to get your take on this because, I've done quite a few. I mean, the Patriot Del Wilkes, the Patriot who wrestled in WWE years ago, he was actually one of the guys that wrestled for quite a while in Japan, and I just remember hearing stories about when he got to Japan, how their work ethic is, and, when you got there and you started wrestling in Japan, what is their work ethic like, and is it a totally different animal than American wrestling?
Oh, it definitely is, when you're going through the dojos or whatever over there, they are, you work your ass off. Those young boys, they're up early cleaning the dojos. They're, cooking lunch. Then they're training. Then they're cleaning the dojo again and making dinner and on the road. Before the shows, they're over there doing hundreds, if not thousands of squats. Before the show and, they do more work, they do more work before the shows, getting everything ready. Cause you're not just, when you're going through the dojo system there, you're not just wrestling. You're having to get waters in all the locker rooms for everybody and, you're helping set up and, those guys, they really learn discipline and their work ethic is, second to none, I believe.
Now, when you go in there and you have to do that work ethic, like the training that you got here in the States, when you go to Japan and you try to pick up their craft, is it, like, do they have trainers where they might have to teach you, like, a thing or two about what they do with their style, or is it basically just all about working harder and putting more effort and time in?
I don't really know because I've never worked out at the dojo or whatever. It's always just at shows and me and a couple guys, Tama or Pungalolo or whoever will, go off to the side somewhere and just do makeshift body weight type workouts to get warm up and keep the blood flowing.
Okay, I see. Now, when you arrived, you got going. What was your debut in New Japan like? Because I gotta admit with myself, you know, what I'll explain is, I just started watching, New Japan Pro Wrestling actually this year, you know, the January 4th show with Omega and Okada, the first match. That was the first New Japan show that I've witnessed, but, you know, before I started watching, I've heard things about it and, you know, which guys were there and when guys like AJ Styles would come in, I knew he was from TNA and New Japan and all that stuff. But I'll tell you, the product completely has blown me away. I'm a full-fledged fan of it. I watch all the time now every chance I can get. And, you know, so back when you started in Japan, did you debut and come in as a person helping out the Bullet Club, as a new member of the Bullet Club, or how did the whole Bullet Club introduction come about?
No, that was when I debuted, I defended the NWA Junior Heavyweight title against Bushi, who is now, you know, a member of Los Ingobernables, along with Naito and Sonata and Evil and Time Bomb. You know, I was there and I was representing the NWA for, you know, a couple tours. And then, you know, some bad business on the side of, Bruce Harp and the NWA not coming through with some of the promises that they, you know, promised New Japan. And, you know, and for a while there, I didn't make any tours for like 6 months or something like that. But, you know, and then during the time off is when I wrestled AJ, you know, so I wrestled AJ, and I think me being friends with Luke Gallows from when he was doing indie shows during his time from, you know, being let go at TNA and, you know, working with New Japan, you know, then come October 2015, Kenny Omega needed a partner for the junior tag tournament. And, you know, and I think everything just kind of fell together, you know, the great match with AJ, the being friends with Gallows, you know, so I got that opportunity and, you know, and showed them, and I made it a point to, you know, let the office know that I really wasn't a NWA guy. You know, I don't have a contract or anything. So, you know, I let it be known that I wanted to be in New Japan. And, you know, and I got that opportunity again when Nick Jackson got hurt for the Best of the Super Juniors. He was hurt just 3 days prior to the tournament, you know, and New Japan called me. And, you know, I got to go back over there, and I've been there pretty regular, you know, since.
Now, are you under a regular contract with New Japan right now in present day?
Well, I do not have any contracts.
Okay. Well, you know what? I think you might be on your way to one, Chase, because, you know, it seems like you're going there pretty steady. You're in the Bullet Club. You're showing them a lot of great work and your work ethic and what you can do. I think a contract might be on the horizon for you.
That's definitely the next step.
Yeah, I believe it has to be. New Japan is such an incredible, incredible product. Like, it's just something that has taken the world by storm, really. It's, I really look at it as, you know, just to say a little something before we get into the next question. I look at how New Japan is right now, how they're being put on the map and how popular they are and how great their product is. It reminds me of, like, you know, when WWE and WCW were having the Monday Night Wars back in the day, their products got real hot and everybody was watching. I feel like now, I mean, to be honest, the way, you know, WWE and that's been booking people up here. I mean, sometimes, you know, it makes me at least, you know, a little skeptical as to what they're doing. And sometimes the storylines aren't, you know, right up to par, but it's like with New Japan, They when I look at New Japan, they're like the hot thing in town now, where they're getting all the recognition, because I gotta tell you, New Japan has just been killing it. Every show and every tour you guys do, it's just been amazing to me, and I've really been gravitating to the product. And I, like I just told you earlier, I've only been watching for 6 months, and in 6 months, New Japan has been able to grab me and just had me so gravitated towards the product. It's like nothing I've ever seen before. And what I love about New Japan is like your stories out there in New Japan, they all take place in the ring. That's what it's about. And,
New Japan's, you know, I think overall has, again, it may be a little biased, but I think it's got the best professional wrestlers in the world. You know, like I said earlier, you got Kenny, you got the Young Bucks, you got Okada, Ishii, Kushida, Tanahashi, just top to bottom, the roster's just stacked.
Oh, incredible talent. And you know what? They'll give you everything they got in a match. They'll leave everything they got in the ring, and that's what I love most about the product. And just getting talking about this, do you have any favorite matches and rivalries in New Japan so far?
I think one of my favorite matches, I got a couple of them, but my first real big match, I would say, came in my first Best of the Super Juniors, Best First of the Super Juniors tournament in 2014, I believe. You know what? I might have been wrong earlier. I may have debuted in 2013, October.
Oh, okay.
Because now that I'm thinking about it, it was two Super Juniors ago. Well, three now, since this year has already happened. But, let me see. No, it's 14. Anyways, just, you know, being in there and my first main event match, my first Super Juniors tournament and the last night, you know, and even though I couldn't advance to the finals, but if Taguchi won, he advanced to the finals, but if I won, Kyle O'Reilly advanced to the finals. And, you know, and to be in that historic building of Cork and Hall, that's one of the main wrestling buildings over in Japan. And to be the main event, again was super nerve wracking. And, but I believe it helped me grow into a better wrestler that night. And another match was last year at the end of the year, the last show of the year for New Japan. I faced each in the same building, Cork and Hall, December 18th. One-on-one. And, if you watch the issue, you know how tough he is. He doesn't have a lot of moves, but the moves he does have, are very effective.
Oh, Ishii's a hard hitter. I mean, I just watched a match with him and Kenny Omega for the U.S. title. What was it during the U.S. tour you guys had? What was it last week?
2 weeks ago, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. It's about 2 weeks. Yeah. Ishii, he's a hard hitting one. He's a hard hitter, but that had to be a tremendous honor to be in the ring with him, I can imagine. And
so many, legends over there that I've been able to, to get in the ring with, Kojima, Tenzan, Tanahashi, Liger, Tiger Mask, all those guys are just legends over there.
Oh, they're, like in Liger's case too, he's been wrestling pro for what is it, like 30 to 35 years?
yeah, you know, he's putting in the miles.
Oh, it's, you know, those guys are just conditioned so well, and they're so legendary, and, another thing I love on New Japan, what I've been, also noticing with the shows is too, you know, when the main event match is, you know, is wrapped up, you guys go to the back, and you have a press conference, you know, just like in real sports. I love that. I love that concept. Now, on shows that I've watched, like when the guys go to the back, like I just explained, they'll have a press conference, but while, say, a show is going on, for each undercard match, do they go to the back and do they have press conferences also, or is that just for the main event?
I won't say we have press conferences like, you know, Kenny did after he won the U.S. title 2 weeks ago. But, you know, they do have cameras in there and they're a little, you know, comment section. So it's not a full-fledged press conference, but, you know, there is a booth that you can, you know, say whatever and get whatever you want off your mind.
Oh, cool. Now, with Kenny Omega, being in the Bullet Club with Kenny Omega, and, you know, Kenny Omega has just been lighting the wrestling world on fire. And one thing I'm curious is, you know, to get a little insight about Kenny. You know, you work alongside him in the Bullet Club, and, you know, what's it like working with Kenny, and, you know, what have you learned from him since you've been in New Japan and in the Bullet Club? Like, what kind of guy is Kenny like, and what have you learned from him?
Oh, Kenny's great. You know, his story is something special, too, because, you know, he's from Canada, and he came over to Japan with the promotion DDT, and, you know, and most people don't know this, you know, but Kenny would go to practice, and then he would come back to his little apartment or dorm room or, you know, or whatever he was living in, and he would study Japanese, and, you know, and Kenny actually taught himself, how to speak Japanese, and, you know, and now he's fluent in it, and, you know, he can have conversations with anybody, which helps when we're on the road, and, you know, in these little towns where not many people speak English.
Oh. Yeah, see, that's just so awesome of Kenny, you know, to want to be there and lend a helping hand to others in the locker room. You know, it seems like he is a true leader.
Oh, he definitely is. And again, he's one of the best wrestlers, if not the very best wrestler, you know, going today.
And I'll tell you, just to throw a little plug in for upcoming shows that you guys are having, I can't tell you because I watched the first two matches with Omega and Okada, and the one at Wrestle Kingdom and the one at Dominion. And I gotta say, August 12th, for them to go at it again and make their rivalry a trilogy, I can't wait for it. I love New Japan. I love the guys in it, but I gotta say, honestly, I'm pulling for Kenny. I want Kenny to get this. I want him to take the G1, and I hope we see him back in Wrestle Kingdom come January 4th, and, you know, hopefully he could take that title home, and who knows? What if this would happen, Chase? Let me know how you'd feel about this. What if Kenny would win the title in 2018 at Wrestle Kingdom? Say, you know, you get going and you start shooting up the ranks in New Japan. What if it was you and Kenny at Wrestle Kingdom 13 in 2019?
Oh, you know, that'd be a huge honor, not something that we would plan, but, you know, everybody wants to submit their name in, you know, in the record books, and, you know, and, you know, it would take a lot of hard work to get there, but, you know, I've really been motivated lately and after it, and, You know, and that comes from being around guys like Kenny, or, you know, being around Tongaloa and Tama Tonga, who have become two of my closest friends, you know, in the world. You know, they're always behind you, motivating you, or, you know, going to the gym with them and keeping me going when sometimes I'm, you know, feeling lazy or not feeling the greatest, or just don't feel like being there.
And I gotta tell you, you know, it's good that you have that support system from a couple real good friends down there, because I can imagine, even though it's something that you love to do, you know, you love wrestling, but I'm sure, you know, packing up and going all the way out to Japan, you know, that's gotta be a long trip, and, you know, they have that motivation of a couple good people behind you, it probably means the world to you, I can imagine.
Yeah, you know, the first couple times I went, I was just doing like one or two shows at a time, so I was only there like 5 days total, at the max for the first two or three trips. But then, you know, then it got to my first Super Juniors, which was 3 weeks long, you know, and then I did Tag League, which was, you know, a month long or whatever. It gets, you know, and when we're over in Japan, it's not like we're just in one hotel and, you know, we're there for the whole time. It's almost every day packing and switching hotels and going to a different town and riding the bus 4, 5, 6, sometimes 8 hours at a single time. You know, and again, just switching hotels and just basically living out of your suitcase, not being able to unpack fully and have things put away. You know, it gets grueling. And, you know, that goes back to having guys like Tama and Tongaloa, and, you know, just everybody. Fale's been a big help to me over there. You know, just supporting each other and getting each other through all these tours.
And, I give you credit, Chase. It sounds like an incredibly challenging and grueling tour that you guys do, but you guys put on great work. And I gotta say, especially from a new fan like myself, watching the product and see what you guys do, can't thank you enough for it. Now, I'm thinking here, cause I got a couple more things before I let you go. Now, these are the couple of questions that get a little bit fun before I ask you about your future. I think I might know the answer to one of these questions, but I'll ask you anyway. This is like a two-part question, so hear me out on this one. If you had to face any wrestler that has ever laced up a pair of boots, I'm talking a wrestler that is alive or passed away or retired, you know, any wrestler that there ever was, who would you want to face? And the second part of the question is, out of any active wrestler in the world today for any promotion, who would you want to get in the ring with?
You know, the first part, you know, obviously I would want to be in the ring with Hulk Hogan. Again, he's the reason I wanted to be a professional wrestler, and, you know, just that match, you know, would make the whole, you know, chasing the dream come true. You know, as far as the active wrestlers, you know, I've faced a lot of the guys that I'd want to have matches with, well, I might have to say, you know, somebody to the likes of, you know, a Daniel Bryan or a Seth Rollins.
That would be a good match. That would be a good match. And, you know, I gotta say, Chase, I, you know, don't feel pressured here on this one. Because I asked this one to everybody, and everybody always, it seems like they have a different answer. Now, you're in a real good place with New Japan, and you know, you still work for NWA Smoky Mountain. But if there ever was a day down the line where, you know, you never know, say the WWE comes calling or one of these companies, would you be open to, possibly exploring options with like a WWE, or say even if they wanted to put you in NXT, or is that something that, you know, that you're just not interested in?
Well, you know, I'm definitely interested in it, but, you know, they would have to, you know, really make it worth my time, or, you know, or make it worthy of, that is not the word, but, you know, really make the offer, you know, really plump, cause, you know, I'm having a great time in New Japan, you know, that's the best wrestlers in the world, you know, and I want, you know, I want to make a name there for myself, you know, and, you know, then maybe, you know, if WWE's there, then, you know, to go there and, you know, completely fulfill, you know, the boyhood dream. But, like I said, again, right now, New Japan is where I want to be. That's, you know, where my friends are. The company treats you great. The wrestlers are great. The competition do great. You know, and I've really felt that I've came up, you know, just a ton just from the short time of being there.
And you know what? It's really the right way to go about things too, you know. You see how things go, what opportunities are at the table, you know, at certain times, but, I gotta imagine, and I definitely trust you on it, because like I said, I've heard it from people before, the New Japan is just such a great place to work, and, I've heard from many people that are happy with it, and, you know, another question is, out of your career, you know, no matter what you get to do, you know, where you are, you can be with New Japan, you can be anywhere. What is the end game, you know, of all this, of, you know, working in professional wrestling? How do you want to put your stamp on this business? And, you know, how do you want to be remembered? What is the end game that you want to accomplish out of your pro wrestling career?
You know, like I said, you know, being around all those guys in my career has, you know, really bumped up several notches, but, you know, there's a few things, you know, obviously you want to be considered, you know, one of the best ever to wrestle, and, you know, and if you're not shooting for that goal, you know, I'm probably going to say you're a liar, because that's what I would think everybody wants. You know, I want to be a household name, you know, so that is becoming one of the best, you know, but the main thing is I want to be able to, you know, make my living wrestling, which I've been doing the last, 3 or 4 years, and not have to have, you know, a second job to, support wrestling. You know, now wrestling's what, supports, you know, my life, and that's what I want to, you know, moving forward, you know, with the family or whatever, you know, that's what I want. And then thirdly, you know, I've passed knowledge that has been passed to me to, you know, to these younger, you know, that's why I offer, you know, road trips. I offer seats in the car for anybody that just, like, you know, like I said at the beginning of the interview, just to jump in. Like, if you want a chance, you know, sitting at home on your couch, isn't going to bring any opportunities.
That's right. You know, you gotta take the initiative. You know, get up and be willing to do something and make some sacrifices to make things happen. And Chase, I gotta tell you, I'm at the last question, and I'm sure it's what everybody everybody's interested. We covered everything about your career up to this present day, and I'm sure what everybody would like to know is, what does the future hold for Chase Owens, like for the rest of 2017, maybe going into 2018? What does the future hold, and what are some goals that you have for the near future that you could share with us?
You know, again, that's just me, you know, wanting to continue, you know, my New Japan career and to really get on a roll and, you know, to move up the ranks and, you know, and hopefully to hold some titles and get in some, you know, bigger singles matches instead of just the six mans or eight man tags or, you know, or whatever, which again, you know, I'm not down on those because I have so much fun in those, you know, and in, you know, New Japan, especially, you know, like I said, with such great talent from top to bottom on the roster, you know, no matter who you're against, you're, you know, just like the saying goes, iron sharpens iron. You know, so every match you're getting better and you're improving.
And I gotta tell you, Chase, I wish you all the best of luck and all the success in the world. And this tour of Japan that you're going on tomorrow, is this going to be your longest tour that you've had to date going there?
It's probably pretty close. You know, Super Junior's tour is pretty long. Last year's Tag League, which is the heavyweight tag tournament, that one was pretty long. You know, and this was my first G1 tour, you know, and it's 30 some days, you know, I don't come back till August 14th. And, you know, and even then I don't come home because the very next morning I fly right out to Canada until September. So, you know, that's going to be a really long time away from home. And, you know, and that's something that wrestlers don't understand either is, you know, you got to make sacrifices, and, you know, and I've made plenty of them, you know, some that I didn't want to do, some that hurt me emotionally, you know, but things have to be done, and, you know, and that's why I'm where I'm at today.
You know, it's like I always say to everybody, because I want everyone to know that comes on here, that I appreciate what everybody does for the business. Because it's not an easy business to work in. You know, it's very challenging. It has its challenges. And, you know, all I can say to you is, from a diehard wrestling fan like myself, you know, that loves the business so much, I just want to say on behalf of myself and, my listeners watching, but, you know, from myself especially, thank you for everything that you've done, for all the sacrifices you've made, all the contributions you've made to the business, just for the sake of making sure that when a fan like myself buys a ticket, that we sit down and enjoy ourselves and we go home happy. So definitely thank you for that.
Thank you for the support.
Oh, you're welcome. And this is a time where I'm going to give you the floor and let you speak for a moment. If you have anything that you would like to promote, like say if you have you know, like a website or social media or any shows that you want to advertise, you know, anything that you want to advertise and plug for things you got coming up, feel free to go right ahead. The floor is yours. And you could also plug your social media accounts as well, if you like.
Yeah, that, you know, I've always got tons of stuff going on. So, you know, the best way is to follow my social medias. But you can find me on Facebook, or you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Real Chase Owens. You know, if you want to look at some merchandise, merchandise on pro.teechip.com/stores/Chase Owens.
Well, Chase, I gotta say, I really appreciate you giving us the time here tonight and, you know, just hearing about your travels. I want to throw one more thing in about your travels because it really got me thinking. I've been to 7 WrestleManias in a row. And, you know, when I go down to those towns every year, you know, for WrestleMania week every year, and by the time I get home, you know, it's like from running and going to every event, it's like, you know, you get tired and I'm like, wow, you know, I'm feeling it. Then I'll come home, you know, and get a nice long rest and end up getting refreshed. But, I can only imagine, you know, day to day, 8-hour bus rides, running around and doing everything, you know, that you do. And it's just, it's remarkable to me, you know, because just, even a little bit of traveling like WrestleMania and doing a road trip once a year, it's like, oh man, but you really keep it going, I gotta say. So, best of luck to you. I wish you all the success and, Chase, you know, I had a lot of fun and I'm sure the viewers had a lot of fun as well. If you would ever like to, you know, maybe sometime at the end of the year or beginning of next year, because, over here on my show, I'm not one of those podcasters that, you know, you'll hear from me one time and then, you know, you never hear from me again. I like to keep in touch with the people I interview and, you know, have them back for follow-ups sometimes. And, you know, the fans really enjoy it. And if you'd ever like to come back on for a follow-up interview, you know, maybe at the end of the year, going on into next year, and let us know, you know, how everything's going and, you know, like say how this tour even went. I mean, I would be more than happy to have you back on the show if you'd like to come back.
Definitely. Anytime, man.
That sounds great, Chase. And, I just want to say, you got any last words you want to say before I take us off air?
Well, you know, just, if it's not for fans, you know, we wouldn't be doing what we love. And, you know, so to keep that going, you know, just go out and support your, you know, your independent wrestling shows, or support, you know, guys that you like, cause, you know, without you all, the fans, you know, there's no wrestling.
And, you know, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, the fans play a big part of it. You know, without, I also got to put the shoe on the other foot, Chase, you know, without dedicated guys like yourself that are dedicated to learn your craft and, you know, do your craft and, you know, be dedicated to the business, we wouldn't have such a great wrestling product like we have today. So, you know, I just want to say thank you once again for everything that you do for us as fans. And feel free to, could you hold the line for a minute while I sign us off air, and then I'll be right back on with you in 1 minute.
Yep, no problem.
Okay, perfect. I'll be right back on with you. And ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you enjoyed this interview with Mr. Chase Owens for episode number 71 of the Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast for today, Wednesday, July 12th, 2017. I had a great time doing this interview with Chase, and I can't thank him enough for being here and giving us the time that he gave, and I look forward to having him back sometime soon. And ladies and gentlemen, I will talk to you all next week for episode number 72 of the Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. And, you take care. I love you all, And I will see you next week, and take care. Good night, everybody.